Hey guys, welcome to today's discussion. We're going to be talking in the long one about dreaming. It's been a very important thing in my own life and my own experiences. I realized at a young age that dreams mean something, and only intensified with a near-death experience that I had about 3 years ago. So this specific subject in the long one helps me, but more importantly, I do hope it helps you and those experiencing dreaming as well, and wondering what in the world are we try are they is it trying to tell us, and why is there a movie that plays when we close our eyes where we're always the main character? So let's get into it. Most of this is from session 86. There's a few that are mixed in, which I will go over because they are important, I feel, as well, in regards to dreaming and how they're influenced. But let's start with 86 set 12. The question is there any other function of dreaming that is of value in the evolutionary process? Although there are many which are some value, we could choose two to note, since these two, though of not value in polarization, but maybe a value in a more generalized sense. The activity of dreaming is an activity in which there is made a finely wrought and excellently fashioned bridge from conscious to unconscious. In this state, the various distortions which have occurred in the energy web of the body complex, due to the misprecision of which with which energy influxes have been received, are healed. With the proper amount of dreaming comes the healing of these distortions. Continued lack of this possibility can cause seriously distorted mind-body-spirit complexes. So here they are implying that, maybe a lack of dreaming or sparse dreaming can cause less healing over time. So the dreaming is very important in regards to healing and creating that bridge from conscious to unconscious, and letting those distortions come into light for us to see them and to heal them, to recognize them. The other function of dreaming, which is of aid, is that dream which is visionary and which prophets and mystics have experienced from days of old. Their visions come through the roots of the mind and speak to a hungry world. So the hungry world puts out a call for certain wisdom or certain knowledge. And the visionary acts as somewhat of a medium between the unconscious world. And so this visionary has a dream of certain wisdom or certain knowledge that someone out there is asking for. So I think the point is to share our dreams and to share the wisdom that we are learning, even if it's involving healing of distortions. Remember, we can't heal others without healing ourselves first. So, just like going to a counselor, I would not want to go to a counselor that has no idea the experience that I've had. And that, I think, involves having a certain amount of compassion and empathy along with that. Thus, the dream is of service without being of a personally polarizing nature. However, in that mystic or prophet who desires to serve, such service will increase the entity's polarity. So the excuse me, sorry, I'm having some throat stuff. So this mystic that puts the desire to serve, I want to dream to serve. Okay, I want to serve in this manner. Then such action will increase the entity's polarity. And a polarity, again, is, we are all here to serve, whether it's to serve others or to serve ourselves. Which one is it? And in this third density environment that we currently find ourselves in, we are here to make that choice. This is 86.10. Is the memory that the individual has upon waking from the dream usually reasonably accurate? Is the dream easily remembered? Because it is very common for dreams to be somewhat fuzzy or frustrating at times. You can't remember certain details, or etc. You must realize that we are over generalizing in order to answer your queries, as there are several sorts of dreams. However, in general, it may be noted that it is only for a trained and disciplined observer to have reasonably good recall of the dreaming. This faculty may be learned by virtue of a discipline of the recording immediately upon awakening of each and every detail which can be recalled. This training sharpens one's ability to recall the dream. The most common perception of a mind-body-spirit complex of its dreams is muddied, muddled, and quickly lost. So, getting a good practice of recording your dreams immediately, having a notepad and a pen next to you, or have your phone notepad ready. Me, I typically grab my phone and type whatever details I can remember into my notes in my phone. Although, in case of issues with the phone, I would probably recommend a notepad and a paper. Those are there to stay forever. But any details, whether it's the color of a door, or color of shoes, or certain patterns, or a certain environment, I think most importantly is the overall feeling of the dream. Were you feeling frightened? Were you feeling peaceful? Were you feeling overwhelmed, confused, so on and so forth. And then I think from there you can kind of use your discernment on, the overall meaning of a dream. This is at a session 44, and this is in regards to how our dreams can be influenced. Can you tell me the source of the instrument stream, meaning Carla, of this morning that she told me as soon as she woke up? And the answer, this feeling of the dream was Orion influenced. The clothing of the dream revealing more of the instrument's unconscious associative patterns of symbolism. So I think the point is our dreams can be influenced by outside negative and or positive. And this is where discernment again comes into play. If you're feel fearful or confused, or feeling like someone's tricking you, or feeling peaceful, feeling friendly, feeling like you're meeting a neighbor, after moving away for a few years, and that friendly overall warming feeling. I'll make sure that's recorded as well. Okay, this is 86.8. How is the dream designed or programmed? Is this done by the higher self, or who is responsible for this? Who records the dream? Is the question. In all cases, the mind-body-spirit complex makes what use it can of the faculty of the dreaming. It itself is responsible for this activity. Okay. They go into a little bit more detail about the higher self in a little bit. So, and this is a great question. There is a portion of sleep which has been called REM, rapid eye movement. Is this a state of dreaming? And yeah, this is correct, they say. So that's really good to know that we are right on that. The next question is, then you are saying that the subconscious is responsible for what I would call design or script writing the dream. Is this correct? This is correct. Our subconscious is script writes. Again, we are every time we close our eyes, we either a movie plays, which we are the main character every night. Even if you remember them or not, so who is responsible for the screenwriting of this? That would be our subconscious. Is it of any value to know what you could tell me why the dreaming process works the way that it does? Okay. Because this is in regards to the mystics. The portions of the dreaming process which are helpful for polarization. Again, that's which path are we going down? Serving others, serving ourselves. And also for the vision of the mystic take place in time space. And again, time space is an area that past, present, and future really there has no sway. So we're all seeing this at once. And consequently use the bridge from metaphysical to physical for what seems to be only a brief period of your space-time. Again, space-time is what we see around us right now, three-dimension space, one-dimension time. The time space equivalent is far greater. So, I know I've had many a dreams where I felt like I was where I was for an hour, a few days even, and then it's been 10 minutes, 20 minutes, in reality. The bridge then remains, however, and traduces each distortion of mind, body, and spirit as it has received the distortions of energy and fluxes, so that then healing may take place. The healing process does not occur with the incidence of rapid eye movement, which again is when the dreaming is taking place, but rather largely occurs in the space-time portion of the mind-body-spirit complex, using the bridge to time-space for the process of healing enabled. So this is like any old other experience in our daily lives. So say we go to a family reunion and see family you haven't seen for quite some time. You spend the whole weekend cooking and socializing and catching up and having a good time, and then you go back home and then you have to process the entire experience, or I do anyway. But you're thinking about how much of a good time you had and how much fun it was and how good it was to see this person and that person and or not, whatever. But this is the same works for dreaming. We have the dream, right? So we go across the bridge into the subconscious, into time space. Okay, the bridge is created for us to go across. We come back over. We find ourselves in our conscious mind again, but yet we still have the memory of what we experienced in that place. And then we take in the experience, what it meant, how it felt, and kind of deciphering, well, was it trying to tell me to heal this? Was it trying to tell me to pay attention to this or that or what have you? So, and once that indigo ray, which they go into this deeper, a little bit further, which we will get to at some point, but once the indigo ray is kind of activated, then it kind of takes on a little bit different of a spin. And I think this is where they've been talking about the mystics using this as a form of service. So we'll get into it. I'm getting ahead of myself, but yeah, the bridge is still there. It's just we're on the other side again where we started. But yet we can use that bridge to recall. So each time you recall details of this dream that you experience, then the bridge is still active. The bridge is still there if you're remembering it and you're focused on processing it. Okay. So you stated that dreaming, if made available to the conscious mind, will aid greatly in polarization. Would you define dreaming or tell us what it is and how it aids in polarization? Dreaming is an activity of communication through the veil of the unconscious mind and the conscious mind. So the bridge is the veil. The nature of this activity is wholly dependent upon the situation regarding the energy center blockages, activations and crystallizations of a given person, a given mind, body, spirit complex. One who is blocked at two of the three lower energy centers, so this is red, orange, yellow, will be a value in the polarization process, in that there will be a repetition of those portions of recent catalyst, as well as deeper hell blockages, thereby giving the waking mind clues as to the nature of these blockages and hence as to possible changes in perception, which may lead to the unblocking. So you might be dreaming about recent events and maybe offering you a different perspective on what exactly had happened, or offering you a different feeling or opportunity in this dream. This type of dreaming or communication through the veiled portions of the mind occurs also with those who are functioning with far less blockage and enjoying this green ray activation or higher activation at those times in which the person experiences catalyst, momentarily reblocking or baffling or otherwise distorting the flow of energy influx. So we can be going through a catalyst and our hearts can be blocked, or and therefore we would be dreaming is about recent events and recent catalyst, where we can kind of go in and look at them a little bit further and see what we need to heal with that particular experience. Therefore, in all cases, it is useful to a mind-body-spirit complex to ponder the content and emotive resonance of dreams. And this is where that feeling comes in. Were we scared? Were we peaceful? Were we fearful? Were we, angry? Were we feeling blissful? All those things need to be taken into consideration. For those whose green ray centers have been activated, as well as those whose green ray centers are offered an unusual blockage, unblockage, due to the extreme catalyst, which is such as what is termed the physical death of the self, or one which is beloved, occurring in what you may call the near future. And this is where that death of a loved one can really push us through, depending on how we are processing that. Dreaming takes on another activity. This is what you may loosely be termed precognition, or a knowing which is prior to that which shall occur in physical manifestation in your yellow ray or third density spacetime. So, in this case, well, let me go on first. This property of the mind depends on its placement to a great extent in time space, so that the terms of present and future and past have no meaning. This will, if made proper use, enable this entity to enter more fully into the all-compassionate love of each and every circumstance, including those circumstances against which the entity may have a strong distortion towards what you call happiness. Okay. So once our green ray gets functioning and working, again, our green ray is about that compassion, and it's about unconditional love, and it's about empathy. But once this is somewhat activated, we start picking up on things a little bit earlier that are manifested in time space first. Because everything is manifested in time space first, and then it drop down into space time. So dreaming can be picking up on these certain aspects of things. Okay, so then we move on. As a mind body spirit complex consciously chooses the path of the adept, with each energy center balanced to a minimal degree, begins to open the indigo ray energy, the energy center. The so-called dreaming becomes the most efficient tool for polarization. If it is known by the adept that work may be done in consciousness while the so-called conscious mind rests, and I really think, I may be wrong, I really think that they meant subconscious. I don't know. I'd have to go back and listen to the original recording, but I really think they meant subconscious here. While the conscious mind rests, this adept may call upon those which guide it, those presences which surround it, and most of all, a magical personality, which is the higher self in space-time analog, as it moves into the sleeping mode of consciousness. So I want to talk about that for a minute, because I didn't get it until this week. Dreaming has been a theme this week for me, so. All right. What in the world is the magical personality? It is the higher self in space-time analog. So this is a lucid dream, but that term really doesn't cut it either. So this is going into a dream and really taking on that higher self, and you are your higher self in that dream, that moment, and you are able to see what it is that your higher self is out there doing while your body is sleeping. So this is, you are seeing your higher self as if it is you. You are in that higher self body, and you are seeing space-time around you as an analog, as in it's kind of makeshifting a reality around you, a third-dimensional reality around you, if that makes sense. Just like how you are sitting where you are sitting, and you are seeing three dimensions space around you. In this dream, you are your higher self, and you are seeing an analog of space-time around you, and you are able to see what it is that your higher self is doing. With these affirmations attended to, the activity of dreaming reaches that potential of learned teaching, which is most helpful to increasing the distortions of the adept towards its chosen polarity. So then the dreaming takes on a, well, you chose service to others, so we're gonna, give you this opportunity to serve others, and you're going to have this dream to be of service to others. So the trick is deciphering it, knowing when to act or when not to act, or so on and so forth. There are other possibilities of dreaming not so closely aligned with the increase in polarity, which they didn't cover at that time. So, okay, this one is unrelated, but it kind of, I did want to go over it, because it explains like the way that the planes work and everything, dimensional planes and such. But so they give a really good answer on how to understand it. So Don asks, are there seven subplanes to what we call our physical plane here? There are an infinite number of planes, because remember we have seven densities. Once you reach the eighth, you kind of enter into a new different octave. So then you kind of, in a sense, run with creation. And your particular space-time continuum, there are seven subplanes of mind-body-spirit complexes. You will discover the vibrational nature of each of these seven planes as you pass through your experiential distortions, meeting other selves of the various levels which correspond to the energy influx centers of the physical vehicle. Okay, well, let me explain this one. The invisible or inner third density planes are inhabited by those who are not a body complex nature such as yours. That is, they do not collect about their spirit mind complexes in a chemical body. So, okay, they're a spirit mind complex. Nevertheless, these entities are divided in what you may call an artificial dream within a dream into various levels. In the upper levels, so if you're where you're at right now, there's seven levels below you and seven levels above you. Desire to communicate. Well, I can't say seven, there's an infinite number. I correct myself. Desire to communicate knowledge back down to the outer planes of existence becomes less due to the intensive learning which occurs upon those levels. Be careful what you wish for, because it's really intense up there, I guess is what they're saying. So it's really intense up there. All right, so people choose not to because Well, some people choose not to because a lot of the learning involves looking at your own distortions and healing parts of yourselves that you don't want to look at. So that is a very, very intense thing that requires courage and willingness and faith and willingness to heal that. All right. This is another great question. This is out of 95. A question has been asked. In processing the catalyst of dreams, is there a universal language of the unconscious mind which may be used to interpret the meaning of dreams? Or does each entity have a unique language of its unconscious mind, which it may use to interpret the meaning of dreams? Meaning, is there like some universal symbolism decoding book out there somewhere, or is this an individual basis? There is what you might call a partial vocabulary of the dreams due to the common heritage of all mind-body-spirit complexes, where we all come from Creator. Due to the entity's unique incarnational experiences, there is an overlay which grows to be a larger and larger proportion of the dream vocabulary as the entity gains experience. So both are true. There is somewhat of a partial dictionary of dream interpretations that we can use. However, we do need to take into account our own experiences and our own understanding and distortion of things. So what may the color blue might symbolize one thing for me, but for you, because of your experiences, you may get a slightly different perception of how you're going to decode that. Okay, and this is in regards to going on board craft for contact. So I definitely did want to cover this one today. Okay. And I don't know, I guess I could go back and see who they're talking about, but in this case, I'm not going to because I think this can refer to anyone. At least the answer can refer to anyone. Can you tell me about going on board this craft? So dreaming about this. The nature of contact is such that in order for the deep portion of the trunk of the tree of the mind affected to be able to accept the contact, some symbology which may rise to the conscious mind is necessary as a framework for the explanation of the fruits of the contact. In such case, the entity's own expectations fashion the tale which shall be the most acceptable to the entity. And in the dream state or trance state in which visions may be produced, this seeming memory is fed into the higher levels of the so-called subconscious and the lower levels of the conscious. From this point, the story may surface as any memory and cause the instrument to function without losing balance or sanity. So dreaming about these contact experiences is really the best way for us to even acknowledge them without losing our sanity or becoming imbalanced in any way. So it's fed into the higher levels of the subconscious and lower levels of the conscious, where when you go into this dream state, it can kind of leak over into a way that you understand them. And I do want to reiterate this part. The entity's own expectations fashion the tale, which is most acceptable. Okay, so if you expect to see, no. I'll pick on Jesus for a minute. If you expect him to be a white guy with long hair, then that's precisely the way that your subconscious is going to manifest that for you. If you expect him to see him in an entirely different way, or if you expect to see Buddha, or then your own mind is going to fancy that for you in whatever way. Of course, discernment is always needed regardless. Okay. So this is 85-19. This is very interesting section because it's talking about like pre-veil versus after the veil. So how was dreaming acquired, or how did we perceive dreaming before we even had a veil? Why did we need it? Okay, it's asking about specific functions of the mind. The primary veiling was of such significance that it maybe seemed to be analogous to the mantling of the earth over all the jewels within the earth's crust. That's equivalent to the veil that's been placed around us. Whereas previously all facets of the Creator were consciously known. After the veiling, almost no facets of the Creator were known to the mind. Almost all was buried beneath the veil. So this is like burying a treasure. Burying a treasure and then it's forgotten about. You forget you even have that treasure. If one were to attempt to list those functions of the mind most significant and that they might be evade in polarization, one would need to begin the faculty of visioning, envisioning, or far seeing. And, is this, I think it really comes down to imagination, but I this might be speaking about like remote viewing and or at least practicing the concept, even if you're right or wrong. I don't think it matters. I think the practice is what's important. Without the veil, the mind was not caught in your illusory time. With the veil, space-time is the only obvious possibility for experience. Also, upon the list of significant veiled functions of the mind would be that of dreaming. The so-called dreaming contains a great deal, which, if made available to the conscious mind and used, it shall aid in the polarization to a great extent. Okay. Let's move on to the next one because this is talking about things that we've gone over before. I think in the episode titled "The Veil," but it is talking about our control of some of the control over our body was separated, into subconscious and conscious, and that involves pain. That involves the control over the beating of our heart. And so on and so forth, which breathing would kind of be like a midway point because breathing can either be subconscious or conscious. Okay, what techniques and methods of penetration of the veil were planned? And are there any others that have occurred since those are other than those that were planned? There were none planned by the first great experiment. As all experiments, this rested upon the nakedness of hypothesis. The outcome was unknown. It was discovered experientially and empirically that there were as many ways to penetrate the veil as the imagination of mind-body-spirit complexes could provide. The desire of mind-body-spirit complexes to know that which was unknown drew them to dreaming. There's that will, too. Our will, I think, is, I mean, there are a lot of major factors in regards to spiritual evolution or mental evolution, physical evolution, all of it. But I think the will, the desire to be more, to know more, to become more, that is major. Drew them to dreaming and the gradual opening of the seeker to all of the balancing mechanisms leading to adepthood and communication with teach learners, which could pierce this veil. The various unmanifested activities of the self were found to be productive in some degree of penetration of the veil. In general, we may say that by far the most vivid and even extravagant opportunities for piercing of the veil are a result of the interaction of polarized entities. So finding others, like minds, having discussions, sharing experiences, all of that. Okay, this is in regards to Mr. Hitler. Even though Mr. Hitler was Hitler, he still did not make it to the 95% cutoff for service to self. So, he is in the inner planes, they say, healing from this. Okay. All right, let's go over this one. If there was a significant difference prior to the veil, then following the veil, so that I can get an idea of how what we experience now is used for better polarization. Okay. They want another reason why the veil, basically, like why you thought that. Placing the veil, we thought that placing the veil would be a great idea for us to evolve further. So, yes. Asking if there is any significant difference before the veil, following while incarnate in third density, sleeping, dreaming, physical pain, mental pain, sex, disease, catalyst programming, random catalyst, relationships, or communication with the higher self. Or with the mind, body, spirit totality, or any other mind, body, spirit functions before the veil that would be significant with respect to their difference after the veil. How did this all take place? How were people learning before there was a veil that was placed? Okay. Both before and after the veil, the same conditions existed in time space. That is, the veiling process is a space-time phenomenon, so no, there is no veil in time space. If maybe I'm wrong, but I think that's how I understood that. The character of experience was altered drastically by the veiling experiences. Well, yeah, you lose your access to time space, it's going to be somewhat drastic. It does kind of remind me of the biblical story of Adam and Eve. They were just living this beautiful life, this beautiful spiritual life, and all of a sudden it was like they had to pay attention to their physical world, just and in a split second, like they were completely focused outwardly. They realized they were naked, and they no longer had access to the Garden of Eden, and so they had to do things from a primitive physical point of view. In some cases, such as dreaming and the contact with the higher self, the experience was quantitatively different due to the fact that the veiling is a primary cause of the value of dreams. And is also the single door against which the higher self must stand, awaiting entry. Before the veiling, dreams were not used for the purpose of using the so-called unconscious to further utilize catalysts, but were used to learn from teachers within the inner planes as well as those of outer origin or higher density. That was the main use of dreaming before there was a veil placed. If there wasn't any significant learning going on in the physical world, or needed to be going on in the physical world, then that was the primary. To learn from teachers within the inner planes as well as those of outer origin of higher density. As you deal with each subject of which you spoke and may observe during the veiling process, not a quantitative change in the experience, but a qualitative one. So quantitative one, quantitative means how much. Qualitative is what's the value. Let us, as an example, choose your sexual activities of energy transfer. If you have a desire to treat other subjects in detail, please query Fort with. In the instance of the sexual activity of those not dwelling within the veiling, each activity was a transfer. There was some transfers of strength. Most were rather attenuated in the strength of the transfer due to the lack of veiling. Okay, in the third density without the veil, well, with the veil and without it, and entities are attempting to learn the ways of love. It can be seen that all are one being. It becomes much more difficult for the undisciplined personality to choose one mate and therefore initiate itself into a program of service. It is much more likely that the sexual energy will be dissipated more randomly without either great joy or great sorrow, depending from these experiences. Interesting. Therefore, the green ray energy transfer, being almost without exception in the case of sexual energy transfer prior to the veiling, remains weakened and without significant crystallization. The sexual energy transfers and blockages after veiling have been discussed previously. It may be seen to be a more complex study, but one far more efficient in crystallizing those who seek green ray energy center. Okay. I don't really know that I have any thoughts on that, but I mean, you guys are more than welcome to pick that apart as much as you want. I did find it interesting where it did say the undisciplined personality, it's more difficult to choose one mate. And it's hard to be of service. Okay, so this gets into a, I'm still dreaming, but into a little bit different of a detail on dreaming. Let me take a drink. Okay. Don asks, how do you perform your normal service? How have you normally given the Law of One over the last 2,300 years? How have you normally given this to Earth people? And they answer, we have used channels such as this one, but in most cases, the channels feel inspired by dreams and visions without even being aware consciously of our identity or existence. This particular group, meaning Don, Jim, and Carla, has been they've been properly trained to recognize such contact. This makes this group able to be aware of a focal vibrational source of information. I mean, they were working on other channeling. They've been working on this for a few years prior, I believe, before they started getting contact from Va. So they were very much properly trained. Okay, so next, going on with this subject though, when you contact the entities in their dreams or otherwise, these entities, I then assume, have to be first seeking in the direction of the Law of One. Is this correct? Ra says, yes, this is correct. For example, the entities of the nation of Egypt were in a state of pantheism, as you may call the distortion towards separate worship of various portions of the Creator. Meaning they had gods and goddesses that they worshipped and at least recognized. We were able to contact one whose orientation was towards the One. I believe that would have been Akhenaten. He then changed his name to Aten. Okay, going back to this session 86. In that remembering dreams, you are saying that the individual can find specific clues to current energy center blockages and may therefore reduce or eliminate these blockages. Is this correct? Yes, this is so. So if you're having a fear of survival dream for whatever reason, that is a, I would say that's a root chakra blockage or something to look at inside the root chakra. And kind of get to, any other areas in your life. You know, if you're of survival, I mean, that could be, home, finances, be feeling threatened from another person or yourself or, something like that. Something that's causing, stability or instability in those areas. Okay, this is talking about the Canadian Gandalf. Yeah. All right, this is the last thing that I will go over here, and this is super important. Each of us gets signals and dreams. I have been aware of clairaudient communication at least once in waking up. Can you suggest a method whereby we might nullify the effect of the influence that we don't want from a negative source? Perfect way to end the discussion. So, there are various methods. We shall offer the most valuable or simple to share the direct contact with other selves associated with this working and to meditate in love for these senders of images of light and for self and other selves is the most available means of nullifying the effects of such occurrences. To downgrade this experience by the use of intellect or the disciplines of will is to invite the prolonging. So if you don't acknowledge that it could be from a negative source, it might prolong the negative effects. And I really wouldn't like stick this only with dreams. I feel like other negative influences can be appropriate with too. Send them love, send them light, send them compassion. Far better than to share in trust and experiences and join hearts and souls in love and light with compassion for the sender and armor for the self. So, instead of trying to fight them or, battle them in your mind, maybe send them love. Send them light. Share the experience maybe with a trusted individual or a friend or whatnot, or not, but I think sometimes just getting it out does help. It helps heal, starts at least initiate the healing process. Because when we don't acknowledge them, when we try to rationalize our way out of these experiences, it only keeps the experiences going. So being aware of them and calling it out, but it is very helpful. But then send them love, send them light instead of battling. I think that a lot of the issues I think humanity has that we're always in a constant battle in our mind, and doesn't matter what with or who, there's always a battle going on. So maybe we switch that around, and it starts with us, right? So we send love, we send light, and focus. We acknowledge that there's something. We recognize that there is something negative, but that doesn't mean that we have to play its game. So send love, send light. But I hope you guys enjoy today, and I do hope that that brings some clarity in the realm of dreams. There is probably more to say in the Law of One about dreams, so maybe we'll take a look at it at some other point, or it may come up in a different subject. But everyone, have a good weekend. Make sure you're staying grounded. There is a very intense solar storm, geomagnetic storm, all the above. Stay grounded, stay balanced, stay high vibrational. If you feel like you need to rest, then rest. Dreaming may be more intense with these, so make sure you're drinking plenty of water. And just most of all, just keep being yourselves. So, all right, we'll see you guys again next week.